Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy. No freakouts today. Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
How can I freak out? I'm on a podcast with you. This is
the best part. I heard it in your voice. Your voice was breaking a lot. I think you might have just had a freak out there. What happened? Well, you cracking on me?
I'm trying to get the opera voice going here right now. I didn't get to sing this weekend with the students, so maybe I'll bust out some tunes on the podcast. How you
Martha,
doing,
I got him on the ropes right now. I got him on the ropes.
We haven't even started yet. Can you give me a couple seconds before you get me on the ropes? Let me at least get warmed up, bro. How you doing?
Too late to warm up. We're here now. I am always making it happen. And today's guest is a business coach, growth strategist, and social media entrepreneur. Her marketing expertise has helped her make her first million in less than a year. So without further ado, Martha Krejci, welcome to the show.
Hey, hey, thank you. Super excited to be here and also super excited to hear some opera. So, and that needs to happen
you
today.
You had to go there right away, Gino. Just get it out of the way.
That
just go.
Will happen.
Come on,
okay.
Just go.
I am not warmed up, but let me see. Neapolitan.
No excuses. Come on.
Deti de Stefan sulla la luna, spandum raggio si caro sul mar. Vieni mecco d'aspetta la bruna, fida barca del tuo marinar. Ma tu dorme, non pensi al tuo fido.
Oh, now he's
ma
in
tu dorme, che vive l'amor. And I keep going on. But
and what's the promo code for that mic? Because people are going to want to get it. You don't sound that good in person. Let's get
it's
a rip
the
here.
Road. Hey, you know what? We're going to tune it up and make myself sound good. So,
all right. We're getting That's focused awesome. Right now for all the folks out there. It is a Tuesday morning. We're having a great time. Martha, please give us a brief. Gino says I jump right to it. We want to get to know you a little bit. Please give us a brief overview of your background and how you became a successful business coach.
Yeah. Well, I think with everybody, whenever the real successful people have been through a lot of garbage in their lives, right? Typically the situation. So a lot of garbage, not enough time to go through all of that. But the most recent amount of garbage was whenever I worked at a huge tech company as in leadership for a little over 5 years. The last day that I was there, I got a video from my husband as I was sitting in my carpeted cubicle, smelled like the 60s. And I was sitting there and I got a video from my husband. It was literally my daughter taking her very first steps. And so in that moment, it was like a movie and everything just like blacked out from the outside in. And I just heard this thing repeating in my head, like, not right or wrong, but are you okay with this, right? You're going to continue missing these things. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that day I went home and I told my husband, I was going to quit my job, and the rest is history. So that is my background. And then what I've been doing in the last 7 years is basically just bobbing and weaving and making things work, right? So trying and failing and trying and failing and trying and failing, and then trying and winning and figuring it out. And then just being able to build on top of that over and over.
So what did your husband say when you said you were axing the job?
Yeah, it was really weird because he's the guy that holds the string to my balloon. Right. So like, I'm just like this. And then he's like, okay, but what about this? But what about this? But what
he's
about
your Christopher
this?
Robins.
He's like and, that.
Yeah. And yeah. Winnie the Pooh, right?
Oh, that's good. I like that.
I'm done for the day.
Right. And that's, and so I expected for him to totally freak out. Cause any other time he would have like, I prepared for him to hyperventilate. You know how you drive home and you know, you're going to say something really impactful / scary to somebody that you love, and you're imagining how the conversation's going to go and that it's likely going to be an argument. So you're going to be like, okay, well, he's going to say this, and then I'm going to say this, and then he's going to say this, and I'm going to say this. And that was my entire ride home from work. And then I got home, walked in the door, put down my purse and my keys, and looked at him and said, hey, I'm going to quit my job. And then I told him what I wanted to do. I wanted to start an agency, which I could definitely do at that time. And he was like, well, if you don't do this, you're not only doing yourself, but everybody around you a disservice. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Stunned. So that's why I knew we had to do it.
Can we dig more here? Because I feel like there's so much more to this.
Yeah.
It sounds like you almost passed out. You know, you're like, you're describing it as like everything's getting black. And was there more to the epiphany than just starting the agency though? And like, and you know, it may be very personal and you don't want to go there, but I would just love to unpack that more in terms of what those emotions were and really what was going on. Was it more based on your daughter? Was it more family? Was it more realizing that you're not living, you know, a life true to yourself and who you want to be? Like, I just think there's so much more to that. I'd love to hear if you're okay sharing that.
Yeah, I love sharing it. Thank you for asking. I tend to glaze over in the beginning because I don't know if people want to dig into that, but I love that you do want to.
No, but there's values and there's things there that's the meat. So I'd love to hear about it. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So I, first of all, whenever we, it took us a long time to even be able to have our daughter. And then whenever we did, the very first day back at work, thank God they gave me, you know, 6 months off or something. Like, it was a really good maternity leave. But to be able to go back to work, obviously I needed to leave my daughter with somebody. And the very first day, I remember I left her at her babysitter's house. And I remember shutting the door. And as I walked away from the door, I had this like primal noise come out. There's no other way to say it. It wasn't a grunt. It wasn't a cry. It was kind of like a mini wail that just came out. Like I had nothing to do with it. It just came out. And that.
Can you try to repeat that? Cause that might be funny.
I'll do it. It was like, I hope that makes a highlight reel. So, so what that noise really represented to me was the separation, the thing that in my heart, I believe that we as a culture are moving into this place where we're so separate. We're separating ourselves. We're separating our families. We're separating, like, we're not spending enough time, in my opinion, enough time with our kids. And we're starting to see it really reflected in culture. We're starting to see it reflected in the world around us. And it can only start to really be reflected right now because it only started 50-ish years ago. Right? So we're really in the very beginning stages of what this looks like for parents to not be around their kids that much. And so I think in that noise that I made, it was that feeling of like, this isn't right. Like, I shouldn't be away from her.
It was like primal. Right? It was like Mother Nature coming out right there. Yeah,
absolutely. And so whenever I saw her taking her first steps, I saw like her, you know, whenever you see babies taking their first steps, they're like, they're clumpy. They're a little pigeon-toed, right? They're kind of weird. And then they're like, their face is like so excited and happy and proud of themselves, but then also like, but am I doing this right? There's all of these things happening on their face. And whenever I saw her doing that, my face was also doing the same thing because I could see myself in the mirror. I had to watch this video in the bathroom, by the way. Okay. I couldn't watch it out on the floor. And so I could see my own face reflecting hers. And then I was thinking, as I saw that, everything crashed down because I was like, she needs to be seeing me mirroring this to her, right? And she can't. She's not walking to me. She's walking to a phone. And so there was another one of those moments of like, we've got a big disconnect happening right now. And I'm not putting my standards or my ethics or whatever on anybody else. But for me, it's got to stop. For me, I've got to be with her. I can't be away from her anymore. And so that's what it was for me.
I can go so many directions there because I've got 6 kids. We homeschool our kids. I'm always around my kids. My daughter's 22 years old. She just graduated from college. She's a missionary right now. I mean, and I don't put my ethics or morals on anybody, but listen, you look at the way I live and I think that's the way. Family is central, and family and my, you know, one of my children was at our boot camp this weekend. The kids work in the business. That's how it's supposed to be, at least for us. And I'm working with the wife, and the wife and I have a podcast, the Multifamily Zone podcast, which I think we need to get you on that show as well. But I mean, people are like, well, I can't do it and I can't work. If you can't work with your wife or your significant other, there's something wrong with you. Because if you're married and spending quality time, business and family are basically the same thing. You have mission statement and core values for business, for a family. If you don't, maybe you should. So, I mean, we could go there, but what did you try first? When you come home, you drop the purse down. What are the first thoughts? You say, oh, I'm going to go do an agency. Like, what was the next step for you? And maybe as people are listening to this, think about what your next step is. Because if Martha can do this from, you know, there and going into a husband who's like, you know what, going to spaz out and all, she probably persuaded the conversation a little bit.
She had limited beliefs going into it, Gino.
Yeah.
Like she was like, oh, it's going to go one way and it went another. But if you don't try, you'll never know. And she did it. And she did it for a great cause for a daughter. I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah.
So, Martha, what did you do? What was the next step after you decided I'm out of here and I'm quitting the job? What did you do next?
Yeah. So I have a weird, uncanny ability, like SEO, search engine optimization. Like I have a weird understanding of it kind of on a cellular level. I'll see algorithm changes before Google even announces them. Like it's one of those weird things. Mm-hmm. And I noticed I had that when I worked for that company. I was like, gosh, I'm kind of like seeing this stuff before it's happening. So what I was going to do and what I did do is I started an SEO agency. But the first thing that I did, but also so other people can anchor in, because not everybody's like, I want to do SEO. But for other people, what
it's
is the
fun
thing?
Sometimes like we have a company that we work with and we do L10s with them, and it's like sometimes there's a few points in meeting that are enjoyable, right? So every once in a while.
Yeah. Other than that, it's just okay. But for people that are in a job currently or doing something currently, what is the thing that sticks out to you that's just kind of fun for you? And maybe it's a little geeky and maybe it's a little nerdy, but who cares? Because the geeky and the nerdy stuff, here's the deal. That's the stuff nobody else wants to do. So what I did is I went to the Chamber of Commerce, which costs like $200 a year or something at that point. Mm-hmm. And I joined the Chamber of Commerce and I started going to meetings, right? And I'm a total introvert. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm a total introvert. And so going to these meetings alone was like a very pushing a boulder up a hill scenario for me. But whenever I started going, then I started doing trainings. So almost, I think it was the first month that I did my very first training there. And so I did trainings for business owners on how they could increase their own SEO on their websites and stuff. But here's the thing is, because I taught how to do it, they were all like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Also, I don't want to do it, right? And then they hired me. So within my very first month, I was making what I was making at my job before, but I was doing what I wanted to do from home. And so like that was the very first step. That was what I did. I think everybody needs to be in the Chamber of Commerce. If anything, just be connected with local people around you.
So as you fumble and mumble and go through, like you said, you start, stop, start, stop. We've been through that for the Jake and Gino community. It's 5 years. And it's like, oh, let's start an education company. That's a great idea. 5 years later, we have success. What was the first, I guess, pitfall or first realization that this is not going to be as easy as I thought it was?
Oh, my word. When I had to start hiring people, because
she didn't even pause. There was no pause there right away, man. I like that.
It was when I had to start expanding outside of myself, because you can carry something for a bit and you can hold yourself accountable just fine. Mm-hmm. But for other people to come into that, that's where it got to be really hairy. And so I was starting to hire people that I had worked with in the past, but that were friends. Mm-hmm. And that did not end well. And it definitely ended. And those people were the great people, right? But what we tend to do with our friends is we'll bring them in so they can get a paycheck because we want to pay them. We don't necessarily put them in the best place for them to be successful, right? We put them in the hole that needs filled, but that doesn't mean that they can be successful at that. And really, we're doing them a disservice. So I own the fact that I totally did my first hire a disservice by putting them in a position that they could not be successful at because it wasn't their skill set and it wasn't a good personality fit for them. And that was my fault, right? And so then to be able to eat crow and own that as a leader as well. So that whole hiring process, that was the first, dip.
So it's the IMA mentality, Jake. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that until IMA gets burned out and IMA's got to find somebody. You have a scaling tool. Can you talk about the scaling tool and see how that actually helped you scale your business? So anybody on here, there's a lot of entrepreneurs and multifamily investors, and it's an entrepreneurial venture. It's not just an investment. Jake and Gina, we create multifamily entrepreneurs as part of the business. So can you share part of the scaling tool with the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So my scaling tool has to do with what you're using as your calls to action. So whether it's a social media post or an email that goes out, or if you use, you know, SMS, whatever it is, it's going to help you be able to understand what worked and then what didn't work. And so you're going to be able to, it's got a little training that goes along with it, but you'll be able to see what is successful. So then you can go back and then replicate essentially that same post or that same email in a different way. So you can keep scaling the activity up. So a successful social media post might be, you know, you get some leads from it, or maybe you've even got a straight call to action, like a straight to buy something call to action, and you got X number of dollars from that post. But a lot of people, they don't have an organization system that shows them specifically, this post did really well. Because sometimes we're just like, man, this was a really good day. Why was that such a good day? And maybe you'll go back and look at your metrics from that day, and maybe you won't, but this makes it where you can't not see it. And so you're going to see what did well and what didn't do well. So you can start, you know, sloughing away the stuff that isn't working and keep going with the copy and with the ideas that are.
Mindset. When you're going through this whole entire thing, I should have jumped in sooner. See, I'm like, Jake, I'm getting too far ahead of myself, because mindset is probably the most important thing here. You know, leaving the job, you know, the traditional route of being WDU, being corporate, that's what 95% of us are trained to do. How did you work on your mindset? Who helped you out? I have an accountability partner. His name is Jake Stenziano. I mean, the last 6 or 7 years has been amazing. Other than my wife, I've been held accountable to him. We grow together. We have the roadblocks. Who did you lean on, and what, you know, resources or what trainings or what coaching or what helped you with your mindset?
Yeah. Well, my husband is, he's my number one person that I lean on. He does something, and I call it speaking life. He, from the very beginning of when we were together, he spoke life over me. He called things out of value in me that I couldn't even see in myself. So he honestly is the reason that I'm even sitting here right now. But that, so he's the one that I lean on for that. I also have, since my, I'm 41. So since my 20s, I've been in personal dev stuff, right? So I've always geeked out on it. So, you know, Think and Grow Rich, The Secret, a little bit. And then there used to be a show, and this is so crazy. I've never said this to anybody. There used to be a show called Ianla Fix My Life. And I watched Ianla. Ianla Fix My Life, Ianla Van Zandt. I know, it's from like forever ago. And it, actually that was her most recent show. Starting Over was the old reality show when I was in my 20s. And so there were these people that lived in a house together, and it was like a regular reality show, but they were all going through personal development stuff and limiting beliefs. And they were, so I was seeing therapy in action as I was in my 20s, just sitting in my house, like with an ex-husband who basically made me stay home. And I it was a whole thing, but I was sitting there watching growth happen through the dirty stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Through the stuff that isn't sort of like toxic positivity, but through the stuff that's like, okay, let's look at this stuff, this person that you really are. And then as I'm watching it, I internalize it. And I'm like, okay, what are the parts of me that need to go? What are the parts of me that are good and that need to stay and I need to illuminate? So that I started in my 20s. And then, you know, curiosity takes you into Bob Proctor's and all of, you know, all sorts of stuff. But my personal development has just really been since my mid 20s. And that's where I have the strongest mindset.
Love that. Your book, The Home Base Revolution, what made you write it? And can we jump into the book real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know I was going to write it. I was asked by Simon & Schuster. Well, it's a subsidiary. Beyond Words is the publisher. Simon & Schuster is the over. Asked by them to write it. So basically, I have a program called The Home Base Revolution. Mm-hmm. And it outlines on a very high level, like 30,000 feet, what it looks like to have created multiple income streams from home, which is what we've done. And then it also shares my story in there. It shares some of my students' stories in there, what's happening in their lives. Essentially, what the purpose of the book is to show people what it looks like to take a different path in life and actually have it work out. Because we see a lot of people maybe try to do home-based businesses and stuff like that, and then they putter out and whatever. But this is what it looks like to actually do that and then be successful and then show what that actually means in your world, in your life, in your family, in your community, whenever you can do that.
So Martha, if I am wanting to start a business from home, what are the first, other than buying the book, obviously, and listening to this podcast again, what are the first couple steps that I need to take?
Yeah. The very first thing that you need to do is you need to know who you're going to serve. And that's a very, people will call it avatar and stuff like that. Really what I speak to is I speak to the fires in our life. So if we were to look at our lives as this timeline, like if you were to draw a line on a piece of paper and just put hash marks where you've had different fires, and what I define fires as is stuff that happened in your world that you thought maybe was going to take you out. Where you thought you were up against a wall and you were like, I don't know how I'm going to get past this, but until I can get past this, I cannot move on, right? I cannot have what I want unless I can get past this thing. So if you were to define all of those, and most of us have many of those, right? And so you look at those different times in your life. And then whenever you've got them all written out, you look at the entire timeline and you think, Now, what version of myself do I really want to serve? Right? Who is the person? Who's the person that I used to be that I is going to light me up to serve this individual right now? And so for me, by example, I serve the woman in the cubicle, right? I serve the mom that is like, oh my gosh, I cannot do this anymore. That's the version of myself that I serve. But I had plenty of versions before that too. Like I used to be a raging alcoholic. I don't drink anymore. I have no problem with people that do, but it did not serve me at all, right? So there are different fires that I've been through as well, and divorce and all of that stuff, right? But the one that lights me up that I really want to serve is the woman, the mom in the cubicle that just needs to be with her family, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what you look at is the very first step is who are you going to serve? A lot of people, they make their very first step.
How big is that though? Sorry to interrupt. Is that a growing avatar or customer base? Because I feel like there's the best way possible here. There's more and more women, you know, taking on more of the income responsibilities of the home, if you will, is maybe the best way to say that. And so are you seeing that as an issue as that becomes more prevalent that there's this, needing or wanting to be with the family. And then there's a kind of confusion going on and because you're getting pulled in two directions, right? Mm-hmm. You're sitting there saying, hey, I got this kind of cool job. They give me good, you know, time off, but my kid's learning, you know, how to walk and I'm looking at a screen and she doesn't know, you know, what mommy's face looks like when I'm reaching these milestones. So unpack that because I'm just curious from your research and your data, is that a growing thing?
Yeah. Well, from my own experience of the women that come to me,
yeah.
I have women that have been professionals for years that yeah. are dying to get out of it, that mm-hmm. are wanting, there are people that have spent tens of thousands of dollars on degrees that mm-hmm. don't even want to use those
What's
degrees.
What's the impact on their lives?
The impact on their lives is that the impact of the job on their lives is yeah. that they feel they went in thinking they were going to feel fulfilled by yeah. that, by taking on that role, but realizing that they feel diluted. And so that's what I'm hearing from people is that yeah. they think it's going to be one thing and it actually turns into another. And that's, I think everybody, we have that in so many facets of life anyway, right? Yeah. So that's what I'm seeing. Women are not, they're not wanting to, first of all, we have women that were, you know, homeschooling and with their families for years, and they're wanting to do something else in addition yes. to that, but they don't want to be away from their family.
Yeah.
They want to be able to, the biggest thing that I hear from women is they want to bring their husband home from work. That's the biggest dream. So there are people out there preaching to become millionaires and billionaires and da da da, which is totally fine, whatever. All they want is to bring their husband home from work. Mm-hmm. That's all they want. They want to be able to pay their bills. They don't want to be at work all week and they want their husband to be home with them and they want their family to be together. That's all that they want. So that's what I'm seeing from.
So these, from but they're, so they're out there, they're providing. And then, so there's, what are the effects though of the lack, say, you know, you have a mom of a couple kids, she's working 60 hours a week. What is the impact on her and the family at that point for, and I think you may be able to divide it by personality. There may be some women that are great with and don't even want to be home with their families. Right. But for mm-hmm. the women that do, for that personality type, like what is the impacts that you're seeing on their emotions, their family, et cetera?
Yeah. It's depression, anxiety, yeah. Divorce. There are things that, because when you take a woman outside of what she really wants to do and show up in the world, she feels helpless and she feels lost. Mm-hmm. And so that you're right. There are some women that are very driven and want to just go.
And I'm
crush,
not judging.
Right?
I'm just saying, I think there's probably some issues here because I don't ever hear about this. This is like, yeah. I don't want to say there's a first time I've heard about this, but this is not something that we talk about in society. It's probably viewed as sexist, you know, if I were to, you know, guess correctly. So that's why I'm just interested in what you're saying, because it's not yeah. something that, you know, you hear on the news, you know, all that.
Yeah.
Often. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think there's probably a reason why we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But I won't go into why I think that is. But yeah. it's at our core. Let's talk about ultimately what it does. Ultimately, what it does is it shows our daughters and it shows our kids that this is normal. It shows them that it's normal not to spend time with your family. It shows them that it's normal to chase your career instead of engaging with your family or nurturing your family. It's showing them that. And that's like what I said near the beginning of when we were talking, that's the trajectory that we're headed on. And as a mom, as women, when we see that that's kind of the narrative that's being created here, we'll do whatever it takes to stop that. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you're seeing women that were professional. I have a woman in my program who was an aerospace engineer. She was on the track to do all of the things and loved it. And then she gave everything up because she realized, she saw what was happening with her family, and she came back home and she's doing the home thing. So that's, but also in doing the home thing, she's using her skills and she's teaching kids STEM. So like that's, there's a whole really cool thing behind it that they're actually taking what they're great at and they're bringing it home and they're doing it in a different way that actually serves better.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm seeing.
Well,
so
just Jake, to be clear too, I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm just saying that there may be some women that are great as full-time in the office grinding it out, and that's fulfillment. But I think there's a flip side to it as well, where there may be a, hey, this is what I thought, and then, oh shit, I got it, and damn it, this isn't what I hoped for. And it may be like a personality profile thing. Who knows, right?
Jake, I've got some experience on this. I'm going to share a couple stories with y'all. First thing is, it's about consumerism, and it's about not producing, but being out there and consuming and growing the economy. Second part, I don't think Martha wants to say it, but I'll say it. It's destroying the family. It's basically the dissolution of the family. So when dissolution of the family occurs, pull religion out, you got Marxism, basically long-term. There, I said it. That's what's going on. That's the reality. Now, before I tell you how women and how men can figure out what they want to do with their lives, big shout out, Liz, Leanne, Bridget. I know dozens of homeschool moms that we've been part of that have given up their lives and their careers as foot doctors, as, you know, physicians, as biologists, as whatever, to stay home and homeschool their 8, 9, and 10 kids. That is supreme sacrifice. They have a long-term mindset because they don't see the fruits 20 years later, and they're home and they're isolated and they're by themselves, and it's a freaking hard job and it's thankless and no one's there and they're not going to parties and all, and they're with their kids, but it's an amazing life and they've thought about it. And what they've ended up doing, Jake and Martha, is they've looked at their values. It's about values-based decision-making. And everyone on this call, before I make a decision and go into debt for $300,000 and then have to go to law school and have to work 80 hours, like Jake said, there's nothing wrong with that. Let's pull it back and say, do I really want to do that? What do I really want out of life? Do I want to
envision yourself in that seat and make sure that's where you want to be?
Well, it's hard because we're never taught that way. We're just taught to go to college, get a good job. And what does that look like? Not everyone fits into that bucket. These women are willing to take less money or get out of the workforce. So this wage gap thing to me is also another annoying topic because we're not all in that bucket. A lot of these women are extremely intelligent and can work, but they don't want to work. And you know what? Now that their kids are older, they probably will enter the workforce in some capacity.
So that's what I wanted to get to next was what do you see like the evolution? Is there a, hey, we got to pull it back. And now is there a re-entering or, you know, can you comment on that?
For me? Yeah. There's no, there will never be a re-entering. There's also that. No, I'm done with that. And so are the women that I work with. That's what we teach, is building your income from home. Mm-hmm. So in doing it, and I work 5 to 10 hours a week, and that's what I teach people how to do. And so you can still homeschool, you can still do all of the things, and you can crank up your income while you're doing it. There's no reason to go back into the workforce. It's unnecessary.
Wow. Those women are great. And it's a hard thing because it's something that society doesn't tell us we should or we shouldn't do. So go out there. What else? What's the next step after really figuring out who you're serving, what's going on with what you want, how you're adding value to others? Now that you've selected, what's the next step that someone should do?
Yeah. Next step is deciding how you're going to serve them. So what are you actually going to do for them? So what we teach is multiple income streams, right? Which is kind of like a buzzword these days, but we teach them how to be able to create community around that person. Okay. So community is at the core of everything. So in a world that is separating people, what we do is we say, okay, listen, we need to go back to, and I'm going to say like our tribal nature, right? Go back into communities, which is really where, I mean, that's where everything happened. That was the glory. That was everything. And so to be able to build community around your person. So I build community around my woman in her cubicle, right? And so somebody else can build community around a version of themselves. That's what you do, is you support that person. You give that person quick wins. You show that person what you're doing in day in and day out. And so you're showing them what life can look like on the other side of this wall that they're perceiving. And then you're showing them how to actually get to the other side of the wall. Now, while you're doing that, to think of what they actually need, a lot of times people are like, okay, well, I don't know. I'll just use coaching, for example. Everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs, blah, you know, and, but specifically, what can they self-identify, right? Mm-hmm. As needing, not what do they need? Yeah. Everybody needs, I don't know, 2 eggs a day or something, right? Mm-hmm. But what are you going to self-identify? What are you saying? Like, if you were sitting as yourself in one of those fires, the one that you picked out, if you're sitting there and you're in your quiet time and there's nobody talking to you, you're not scrolling or whatever, you take yourself back there and you're just kind of like staring off into the distance. What are you thinking? If only I had, or if only I knew X, Y, and Z, then I would finally be okay. If only I knew X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. And so that would be the very core and basis of what you're going to help these people with, because it's going to take them to the other side. You're also going to teach them, okay, so this is what they self-identify with. So that's going to be sort of like hook and bring them in so they can be in your community. It's the only way they'll be in there. And then you can start bringing in nuances, things that you may not know this yet, but this is something you're going to come up against. You may not know this yet. Here's something else that's going to be another piece of this, and really be able to color up this world of theirs and then show them the solutions and ways out and things like that. And you can do that in multiple ways. So if I'm happy to answer questions if that sounded obscure by any.
Yeah, no, let's long answer question. As far as community, the importance of community, and how, what are, I guess, tips or strategies or techniques that you use to build those communities?
Yeah. So the way that I build community is well, first of all, you have to create it, right? So I use Facebook groups. I also have some off social media groups as well, just because Facebook is Facebook and
outside of the Meta space or whatever they're calling it.
Oh my word. That's one reason why I'm getting another one. Yeah, exactly. Like, what on earth is really happening? We're all going to live in Minecraft, I think, at some point. So you create it, you create the space, but then what I do, like every day on my social media and YouTube and all of the things, every single day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live, and that's publicly facing, right? So everybody in the world is able to see that live. And that live, I touch on topics that my people need to hear. And so in those topics, I also let them know, hey, we've got a community here. If you want to jump in, this is where we go through X, Y, and Z, right? And so it's top of funnel, so to speak, if you're looking at that, but it's the way to be able to broadcast mm-hmm. and create media, right? So like what you guys are doing, you have a ton of stuff and it's boss, right? And so you've created media, you own your media, and you get it out there. And then people, whenever they resonate with it, they share it with other individuals. Well, whenever you've got a call to action, such as join this community embedded into something that is so dang shareable, you grow organically. So like we grew, we don't use ads or anything. And so you end up growing organically whenever you can really resonate with what people believe that they need to hear,
you're
right?
Serving and then, your customer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, buy right, manage right, and finance right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com /apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, we're back. Let's do some personal dev, as you like to say. What is your best habit for success?
I pray.
50 push-ups a day, bro. We hit it every morning with a protein shake.
No. I pray. Honestly, I'm in constant communication with God. Like, that is my, that's my thing. I am in full alignment. I pray with expectation and not to get what I want, but for the things that I'm supposed to do, be illuminated so I can't not see them. That's my everyday. And I mean, multiple times a day thing.
All right. You threw it out there. Hiring. You said it was a pain point. Give us some tips now for good hiring.
Oh my word. So good hiring. First of all, good hiring comes from really understanding the job that you want them to do. I see a lot of people, you know, try to hire a VA or something like that, or you see them in these Facebook groups, I need a VA. And I'm like, first question, what do you want that VA to do, right? Because VA is general. And so really, you need to understand not only what you want the person to do, but you need to know how to do what you want them to do, because you can't hire somebody and then gauge activity and success on their projects if you have no idea at all what they're really supposed to be doing. And that's a really quick way to just blow a ton of money and get nothing out of it except for a loss of time, because you're going to have to do it over again with somebody else. So really understanding what the project is and what you need to do. But whenever you're looking at the people, I hire on heart. And I know that that makes a lot of people roll their eyes. But I hire on how much do they really want to serve my people? Because I can teach skills and how to's.
I'm with you. For me, it's attitude, right? I want positive attitude. Competence will come if you know, for most of the stuff that we do, right? It's very teachable stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just have to really want to serve my people. You have to really understand the men and women and the families that are in my program and understand where we're going with them. And if you don't, if it seems like it's just going to be a paycheck for you, God bless you. That's totally fine, but it's not going to be in my business.
Service is lacking now more than ever. And yes, it feels good. And I'm like, that's my biggest thing when it comes to a business, is like, I felt served and taken care of. That's what I want. And that's what I want for everyone that interacts with our family of companies. Gino, were you going to say something?
I was just going to just say what Steve Robinson said from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
He was the CMO of Chick-fil-A. The three C's: character, competency, and chemistry. If they have the character and they have the chemistry to work with us and they're competent at what they do. I mean, you can, like you said, teach competency, but competency is a skill that, I mean, if they fit in the, like Martha's saying, in the tribe, and they see the vision, and you have a vivid vision, and you have a mission statement, and you have core values, and they resonate with all of that, that'll just really help. And listen, that's a lot of the years of experience of sucking at hiring people. I've sucked.
Well, think about the job descriptions, right? Like job descriptions, I would be like, oh, whatever job description. They know what. No, if you have a detailed job description that someone can say, oh, that's me, that's when this stuff works. So get a copywriter if you don't have one, and make sure that job description is on point, because if really who you are and what you stand for comes through that, that person will find you, you know, somewhere in the metaverse, Facebook, right? Or whatever the hell they call it. So, hey, all right. You read a lot of books, apparently. You know, we talk about the development. Give me a book recommendation. Maybe your all-time favorite, and then one you've read recently.
Okay. It's really nerdy. Traction. I really like Traction. It's an
scaling
MBA.
Up Traction, you're talking to the right guys. We've gone through all of it, and we just consume that stuff, right?
It's like, hard to read, though. I mean, it's not a book you read. It's a book you
that's
do.
That's why we got coached, because I can't read, dude. Come on.
Makes two of us. I was reading, I'm like, dude, I can't read this thing. Can we get
we were just talking about L10s a minute ago. I mean, that's what it's all about. You got it. Scaling up is huge. So, sorry.
Yeah.
That's for you, not for me.
I love it. It's Traction's a fantastic book. It's, you can either go to college or you could read Traction. Like, it's really, you could do one of those two things. Mm-hmm. And then another one, let me open my Audible, because, you know, I don't know about you guys. I always have a good three or four going at the same time.
Yeah, fortunately, yeah. I do too. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You got to close them out though, Gino. You got to close them out.
Okay, I'm in Hacking Growth right now. Oh, it's going to start. Don't start. Hacking Growth. There's another one. The next one will be Speed. So that came from, so I'm in War Room with Ryan Dice and all those guys. And they were talking about, they did a small training and they said the two books, this is basically Hacking Growth and Speed put together. And it's something that they're implementing in their own company. And I'm like, ooh, okay, on it. So
it's about
Hacking Growth is boss so far. Yeah. I'm like halfway into it. And then Speed is next.
So marketing, I mean, any marketing books that you like, that you're looking at right now, they seem like they're marketing books, but I mean, anything marketing wise, I don't want to put you on the spot because.
Let me get my
I hate marketing books.
Oh, you hate them. I know I hate them too, but they are the crux, bro. I mean,
I like
social media marketing books. Let me be specific. I really do.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Everybody's a guru. I love anything Dan Kennedy.
Yeah.
Anything Dan Kennedy, and it's over with for me. I'm just in it for life. Dan Kennedy can do no wrong. He's sassy. He is unapologetic, but he is so truthful in his delivery and everything. It makes so much sense. And you can, the way that he teaches, you understand it on a cellular level. So then you can turn it into what you need for your own business.
Mm-hmm. All right. We were talking about something before we started this show. And I was like, all right, this is going to be all Martha here. So Martha, I think you have something to offer the folks, but you need to tell me where to go to get that and what it is here. Cause I've already forgot.
You didn't forget. You're making me say it. Okay. So the URL is this. Everybody grab your pen and paper, cause you will not remember it later. It is Martha E for Echo, I guess. So Martha E and then Krejci, right? So there's a lot of consonants. Get ready. KREJCI.com/. There's the funny part. Tool. MarthaEKrejci.com/tool. That is where you're able to get that scale tool that I was talking about earlier.
That's awesome. I mean, because here's the thing. If you're not running analytics on what you're doing, you're just throwing shit at the wall. So if you don't understand what's working, then you're just wasting your time. And you know, we've definitely suffered from that in the past. So we'll check it out. Martha, any with an A, starting with E, Krejci/tool, right? And you can get it. Was I close? I was close.
No, you're wrong. MarthaEKrejci.com/. That's why you are not the CTA guy.
Dude, listen, I'm trying here, all right?
Well, you know what happens,
Martha? Gino, go ahead.
This is really funny. Hold on a second, Gino.
We're
at our live event, and me and Jake are up there speaking, and I'm giving out... you know, things that aha moments. And every now and again, Jake cuts in and says, whoa. And the student's like, well, Jake sometimes just talks over you. I'm like, no, Jake has a bad memory. If he doesn't say something, he's going to forget it. And cause I'm writing down, I'm taking notes.
Dude, I'm half as bad as your brother though. Okay. I'm half as bad as your brother. So it's an improvement for Marco. All right.
Hey, I take it as a compliment when you cut me out, because I know if you don't do that, you're not going to remember your next statement. I just take my notes. I don't have any of my notes. So my memory is just,
dad's got an elephant brain.
Elephant brain. So let me wrap up this podcast, cause this has been an awesome show. Martha's sitting in her cubicle. She gets a phone call and she sees her daughter walking. I mean, she's actually walking and she's not there. And when you know you get that pit in your stomach, that feeling that you just want to throw up, I'm assuming that that's what was running through Martha's mind. One day she just decides to go home and the keys on the table and says to her husband, I'm out of here, expecting her husband to blow up and go, you're out of your mind. Instead, he says, let's go for it. And then Martha's like, what the hell do I do now? I don't know what to do now. I didn't expect that. I expected, you know, the little balloon. I expected you for you to let go of the balloon and go into the air. Instead, you held on to that damn balloon. So that's when the work starts, right? The work starts there. And just the first part of it is really, I love the value aspect of it, figuring out how you can serve and who you can serve. And like Sharon Lecter says, have I added value to somebody today? I think to me, that's part of what the mission statement of Martha's company is, the home-based revolution. Ends up writing a book 7 years later, she's crushing it. And she's serving women who want to empower and take control of their lives and not live the typical 9-to-5 and corporate. If that's not you and you want to empower your life and stay home with your children and grow a home-based business, go out and follow Martha.
Boom. Well said, Gino. Martha, it's been great. Really appreciate your insights and I enjoyed the conversation today. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Martha.
Thank you. I appreciate it, you guys.
Take care.